And Debris, experts in business, leadership, and lifestyle.
Skilling your softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Boom! We're up and running, and yes, we are here. It's me, Paul Rees. Yes, happy days. Yes, it is happy days. As you can tell, I've been taking my vitamin D. No, this isn't about caffeine. It's about vitamin D now. I decided that the iron was doing no good for me, so I've dropped the iron tablets. You can read what that does to a man online. There's problems with iron tablets, absolutely. So now, listeners, here I am. I've been ploughing in the vitamin D. I heard about vitamin D, started taking it, and whoa! I am up and running for sure, man. I'm so strong on my biking and everything. It's great to be here, and welcome, of course, to UK Health Radio. And I'm with my co-presenter today. I've managed to drag her into the cheap seats from the snobbery of the what, where she lives every day. We have a fantastic show ahead of us. We're going to deep dive into the mind of Deborah Rees. Now, listen, this is going to be layered, so be ready. You'll need a pen and paper because you'll not keep up otherwise, because I can't keep up with her. I mean, she reads to me every night, because here's the thing. I fall asleep when I start reading. So Deb reads to me whatever she is reading, and I'm on it, usually some kind of universally, multiversally layered book that's all about the depth of the depth that made the depth of depth within depth. That's what I said. Catch that if you can. And that is a regular conversation that I'm kind of left me spinning every time I talk to my wife, co-presenter, and of course, best friend. Maybe I'm short of friends. I don't know. When your wife becomes your best friend, is that because you haven't got any friends? Huh, I hadn't given that any thought, really, listeners, do you know what I mean? But here we are. So it's Paul's show, sometimes with Debs, and on UK Health Radio. So let me, I'm going to present Deb in like she's a guest, but she's not really a guest, but because we don't have her on very often, she just as well be, you know what I mean? Even though she's in the jingle. I remember it says, Paul and Debs in the jingle. Absolutely. So let me bring it in. The one and only, the most vibrant mind in the world. Although you wouldn't think that. If you knew about her past, you'd think, God, how did she even keep sane? Yeah, I often wonder that. We have some deep dive conversations on that also. So let's deep dive into the mind, soul and the heart of the amazing Deborah Sinead Rees, who is, of course, one of the leading life strategists in this global world of ours. Let me bring it in. They are the one and only, the la 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 of my life, Debs.
Oh, you said you weren't going to clap me in, and you did.
I just had to, man.
Thank you. I mean, I do want to say to the listeners, you know, that there was a discussion around the table this morning about how sane I am. We did go into that.
Well, we were analysing.
No, you were analysing.
Yeah, we were analysing, you know, that.
Well, what is sanity? You tell me what sanity is. And what is a sane person? Because to be honest, I don't know that you'll ever find one.
Well, sanity is what society claims as someone that functions in a manner that society can benefit from.
Oh, benefit from?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
If you're not adding value into what is the somewhat, we could say, emotional economy, I know, or any economy, then they don't consider you someone that functions on a normal basis. Whether you're, as a mom or dad, you are adding value to your children's lives. As children, you're adding value to your future life. Look, it's all scripted out.
Let me just say that probably, in a very pessimistic view, is that the only value that society, if we're going to call it that, wants from each of us is a monetary value.
Well, no, I have to disagree because there's an emotional economy.
There is emotional economy.
There's life currency and money currency.
Yeah, but I asked you, name me and tell me what a sane person is. And you said a sane person is somebody that adds value to society.
It claimed by society.
And what is society? Do you want to break that down?
Well, society is generally made up of leaders that start as country leaders that then teardrops down to the parrot shelf of a 60-second pitch in some networking event. In between that, okay, you have parents, children, business, career. That's generally, I would say, what society is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say society is actually governmental, but that's just me, you know.
Now you've got a conspiracy theory, haven't you?
It's not a conspiracy theory. I'm just, you know, we need to figure out what sane is and what it looks like. I mean, present to me a fully sane person, and I don't know that you'll have one, because the definition of sane...
Or sanity
is just, you know, it's elusive.
Elusive?
Elusive.
Do you mean like a make-believe thing?
No, I mean that you can't quite find it. But yeah, I would say a make-believe thing. But anyway, that's got off onto a big, you know, deep start. But
well, actually, I think that's quite a light start having a conversation with yourself. Do you know what I mean? I managed to keep up.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, that sanity, unless somebody has been clinically diagnosed with mental health, then I think that a lot of us are running in a range of sane. I couldn't pinpoint what a sane person is and looks like and acts like.
Do you think that mental health is something that we all potentially I'm not going to say vulnerable to, because that says it's something they could have. Do you think we all have layers of mental health issues?
Absolutely.
Even though mental health could be just an adoption of emotional habits. Can that be mental health?
I agree, yeah. If you're not living authentically, and that's a whole blooming book in itself, mm-hmm. Then yeah, I mean, we've all got coping mechanisms and strategies and survival skills that we're dealing out every day. You know, so... Yeah, I would say that all of us on some level, you know, because it's a mental and emotional health mixed together, you know, anxiety. Is that a mental health problem or is that an emotional health problem or both?
Well, can anxiety be something we self-inflict? Can it be that?
Yes, we can start with an anxiety that's been inflicted somewhere else and then perpetuate that.
No, I didn't say somewhere else. So effectively, isn't anxiety a choice that we make?
At a deep, deep level, yes, of course. Every single thing about us is a choice at some level. But a lot of us don't believe that we have a choice. We figure, you know, this is me, this is how it is, and that's what I've got to live with. When, you know, anxiety, probably on its truest form, is a survival skill. Because it's alerting that person to perceived... danger.
So, do you think anxiety and fear are very much the same?
Yeah, I think they're very, very similar. Yeah,
they're very similar, but absolutely, they both make believe, aren't they?
Yes, because you can have anxiety about something that hasn't happened yet, and that's generally what anxiety does. I mean, depression, you can go that way as well. You know,
depression is from something. Anxiety is something that hasn't happened. Would you say that? Depression is a result of, anxiety is a result to.
But I think if we get it on the basic form of when it first started in a person, I mean, not that I'm an expert in this by any means, but, you know, I'm just intuitively trying to answer your questions.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we get, you know, anxiety and depression on the first instance of what's caused that, then what happens is, after that, I think it's self-perpetuated. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean to say that you can wake up tomorrow and be without it. You know, but I do believe that there is strategies in order to change that over time, for sure.
Would you say it's fair to say that we create our own imbalance, our own outer balance of chemical behaviour that they say creates for depression? So depression comes because there are certain hormones or chemicals that are missing that create happiness in yourself.
Or are in you.
Yeah. But we make those chemicals and that balance anyway for ourselves.
Okay, but I don't know that that's, you can't blanket that statement, because people out there without depression and without anxiety, you know, still have coping mechanisms, coping strategies, and things that they've put in place for survival. And I think that somewhere depression, it's quite a controversial thing to say, but depression, I think, can be where it's a coping mechanism by not coping.
Okay, right, I get that. Because I want to throw this in, and this is going to create a debate between us. Because here's the thing. When I went through burnout, I went through a deep depression. Mm-hmm. I was in it. But I didn't take any antidepressants to get me out of it.
No.
What I did was I thought my way out of it.
Right.
And I cleaned my way out of it in what I ate, what I didn't read, what I didn't look at on television, what I didn't put into my mind to add to the depression.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as, and I will say this, you know, you suggested maybe I need to get, you know, go to the doctors and put myself on that medication journey. I remember you saying that.
Not the medication.
Well, the antidepressant tablets, but, you know, and but here's the thing is that I made that decision to consciously think and find my way through. I'm going to say it was a longer journey. It took longer.
There wasn't a plaster.
But also I realised that I was actively, first of all, I recognised that I was in that, and I actively pulled myself out of it.
You did.
So do you think that, you know, any human being could do that if they wanted?
Yes. I'm not a big fan of tablets, so I'm not sure why I would have said that. Maybe to go and speak to somebody, fair enough. But anyway, we grow. So yeah, I believe that antidepressants and any sort of medication, it's all depending what we're talking about.
Okay,
so if we have a clinical mental health, schizophrenia, for example,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, sure, we need the medication to stabilize, because that is that. But I also think that with depression, anxiety, I think that it is very, very possible that we can grow ourselves out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we're resourceful. But you've got to understand, Paul, that you're a very strong person. You're a very strong character. You know, you can go on a bike where you're hurting for 3 hours and still do it. You know, you have that strength of mind. There's a lot of people out there that don't possess that.
I get that now. I see that. So here's the thing then. So let me just collect my thoughts again, because I wanted to touch on this, which is, okay, so our conscious mind is what's telling us that we're depressed, and our unconscious mind, or our subconscious mind, is loyal to what we are telling ourselves. So consciously, I'm saying I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So my subconscious saying, I love you, that's what you're asking for, so we'll be depressed.
Yes.
So effectively then,
that's what I mean by you can perpetuate it.
So we say my subconscious is to blame.
No.
Because as much as it loves me, it's saying, well, you want to be depressed? Let's give you depressed.
Yeah, because your subconscious mind can't make a choice. It doesn't make a choice. It follows instruction. It does not. It follows suggestion. It doesn't make a choice for you.
Well, it is making a choice, because effectively, mm-hmm. it's what is on a physical sense bringing those things into me.
No, because it's only acting on your conscious mind's cues. It doesn't make a choice. It can't say, well, you know what, I don't think Paul really wants to be depressed, so we're going to give him some happiness. You know, it can't do that. It just purely works on what it's given, and it will not deviate from it.
And that's working from the front. I'm going to say my front of my mind, which is where I'm making, we could say, unconscious decision making then, because...
Unconscious, yeah.
Because I'm saying to myself, I'm depressed, I'm depressed, I'm depressed.
Yeah.
Which is effectively an unconscious thing to do, do you
think? Yes, it is an unconscious thing, but this is where, you know, our words are very important, because you just said, I'm depressed, I'm depressed, I'm depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of people say, I have depression. They call it my depression, my anxiety, my whatever. You know, they own it, and they don't have to own it. So words and thoughts, you know, conscious thoughts and words are very, very powerful. And whatever your conscious mind keeps telling your subconscious mind, that's what you're going to get.
So if I'm saying I am depressed,
then you're going to get
depression. Then it's saying that's what I am.
Yeah.
And it's saying I have that's the same what I have also.
Yeah. My depression comes on every 6 months. My, you know, it's, you're owning it,
yeah,
and you're telling your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind will give you and manifest for you whatever you give it. That's why affirmations are important, because, you know, you keep it and it acts on suggestions. So you imagine when you hypnotize somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. So say the hypnotist says to you, mm-hmm, under hypnosis, your right arm, you can't feel it anymore.
Oh, why couldn't have said something like run around like a chicken or something?
You could've... Okay, run around like a chicken. Okay. If that's more acceptable to your 6-year-old.
Well, apparently that's what they do. Do you know what I mean? They have adults running around in clubs and things like chickens because they're under hypnosis.
Yeah. So do you know what it's done?
What?
So what the hypnotist has done, if they're true and real, they've put you into a state of altered state of mind. They're getting directly to your subconscious and telling it something, and then it does it.
Wow. Then why isn't everybody going to a hypnosis in order to improve how they think?
Well, you can do that for a while. You can do that for a while, and that can help, certainly. But I wouldn't get reliant on doing that, because otherwise you're still not in control.
Oh, okay.
Right, but you can do that. But so, yeah, so your subconscious, whatever you tell it, will do. Will manifest for you.
Wow, that's interesting.
There are people that have been operated on purely by being in a hypnotic state with no anesthetic.
Wow. So let's go back to the conscious or unconscious, because you know this. Listeners, I said we were going to go deep. Brumia, I said we got debut, and this is what's happening. So we have unconscious thinking that feeds the subconscious mind. Is that correct?
I don't know. Unconscious? I don't know that I want to go there. Because even if you're doing something unconscious, no, I don't think it's unconscious. It is purely your subconscious and your conscious mind.
Well, let's go to the business world. I want to just touch there. So in the business world, we have unconscious thinking, which is effectively doing what you did yesterday and hoping today will change.
Okay. For the better. Yeah, that's like a term. You wouldn't say that it's unconscious as in... It's coming from an unconscious state.
It's coming from a non-thinking state.
There we are. I can do that. A non-productive...
Productive thinking state. Let's say that.
Okay, yeah.
So it means that you're not actively thinking, you know, on a productive level to improve the quality, running, efficiency, success of your personal and business life.
Right.
We call that unconscious thinking.
Okay, I can go with that. You can't literally go with it, but I can go with the statement. But, you know...
So I'm depressed, and I'm saying, I'm just every day, without even saying it out, I'm just living the depression.
Yeah.
Is that unconscious?
No, it's coming from your subconscious.
Deb, this is just pretty confusing for me.
And okay, so let's take the unconscious bit away. Because unconscious is where nothing's happening. When you go unconscious or you're in a coma or something like this, nothing's going on.
I see how the unconscious then relates to that. Because effectively, if you're thinking unconsciously, nothing is changing in your life.
Yeah,
it's
paused. Right, so that's kind of a buzz thing that we're talking
about.
Yeah,
a buzzword.
Okay. Yeah, but what I'm talking about here is your subconscious is programmed in. I've said this on the show before. By the time we're about 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are, if you think of them as just tapes playing, or you can, just old tapes keep playing, or you can see it as a computer that just flips up files all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So whatever is programmed in those first 7 years is what we will react to in the world until we pass away, unless we change it.
And unless we change it, that can be done through multiple streams of NLP, counselling, you name it, it's out there. Do you agree?
Yes, it can be helped by that, but you've just gone off on a thing there. Okay. I want to come back to this. So we're running on a loop. So what you're basically saying here, Paul, is that, because I'm going to say that 95% of our day, every day, is coming from our subconscious mind.
Okay.
So that's what you mean by the unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So the subconscious mind is just running its tapes, doing its thing, and we're just doing it with it. If we do not, and this is an actual fact, if we do not change what's in our subconscious mind, then we will only marginally change and grow in this lifetime. So
how do we change?
by suggestion.
That was a big pause. You know, I got to cut out these little pauses. You know,
no,
that,
you don't have to cut out the pauses.
I got to edit them out, girl.
Because I'm on a train of thought. I haven't finished. You ask me a question and then I've got to go with your question. So I'm like, oh, where am I going?
Well,
here?
For the sake of my edit on the show, let's not try these pauses too big, because I've got to find them and edit them out, because the listeners are saying, oh my word, I've lost like 2 minutes of show.
2 minutes?
Well, it'll add up. Okay, you know, I've got no sort of director anywhere. It's Paul doing all this. Anyway.
I know, love. I know. Okay, so we change what's in our subconscious mind by exactly what I just said a minute ago, suggestion.
Yeah.
You keep giving it another suggestion. Okay.
Okay.
And that's by constantly monitoring your thoughts, seeing where they go, then changing those thoughts. Stopping any negative thoughts as it comes in. You know, you can have a negative thought, but what we tend to do with those negative thoughts is live them, own them, get into mm-hmm. them. Okay, so you could have a thought cross your consciousness that you don't have to accept. You say, wow. Right, I'm not accepting that one. Right, so it's not like you don't think terrible things or sad things or anything ever. It just means that you do not accept that one. You accept the positive ones into your mind.
Let me jump into this, because here's what you do. I want to do one thing first. I want to take us into a quick 90-second commercial, listeners. And we're going to come back and we're going to then dive into thought training, what that looks like, how we train our thoughts to what is effectively make the most of our subconscious mind. So come back in 90 seconds, listeners, because we are deep diving into the depth of the depth. We're almost standing on the, I don't know, we could be on the Titanic. We're so deep in the depth, swimming
goodness.
Amongst the relics.
The
relics of the Titanic. Anyway, let's get into the commercial. Happy days.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days, and yes, we are back in. And you are, of course, on UK Health Radio, and you're with Paul and Debs, and we are deep diving today, the subconscious of consciousness. I didn't say that right, did I?
No. But hey, we can do it. We can do it.
And I took a mouthful of nuts before we come back on, and I am having to chew these something chronic because they spit in everywhere. I mean, nuts are like the worst things, like coconut. I take a big chunk of coconut.
I have a bounty.
Oh, yeah, you're spitting all stuff out all day. Oh, sure you are. But we are back, and you know, we've touched on before we went to commercial, which was, you know, how do we retrain our subconscious mind? And so let's look at thought training,
mm-hmm.
effectively retraining our subconscious mind. How do we do that?
Okay, so one of the things that we need to understand is that there is a stream of consciousness. I mean, this is very deep. There's a stream of consciousness where all thoughts reside.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is happening is those thoughts, given our energy and given what we've been doing for the last, you know, for me, 51 years and what I've been thinking.
You're 51?
I am.
Mm.
52 in a couple of months.
Yeah, happy days. What are we doing for your birthday?
Oh, my God.
No, come on, keep
I'm
going.
I'm trying to get my, like, thing. Okay, so if you imagine that there's a stream of consciousness and a stream of thoughts that pass by my conscious mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because we're having God knows how many thoughts per second, right? So, tons of them.
Yeah.
And what happens is from those, we choose and to own one of them, to take it into our being and to think it. So, we don't actually think up thoughts. They're already there, hanging around the universe.
Okay.
Okay, or the consciousness. So we choose which thoughts we're going to take down and bring into ourselves and make our thought.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we can do is every time we catch ourselves doing that with a negative thought, we say, no, that doesn't belong to me. Like, you know, and then what happens is you start to ignore the negative thoughts that run past your consciousness. You start to ignore them.
We replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Is that correct?
And anything positive that streams across, we bring it in and take it down and say, okay, I'm taking that thought and I'm making it part of me.
And what is the simple process then to do that?
Just acknowledge. First of all, spend a couple of days seeing that the thoughts that you're having is just a stream of consciousness that's floating by you.
Okay.
And then notice what you bring in. Notice the thoughts you have.
What type of thoughts, you mean? Are they...
What type of thoughts that you're bringing in and owning? And it could be the negative ones all the time, right? If something you see on the telly, you can then start getting a negative thought from it. Do you see what I mean?
Okay.
But you don't have to own them and you don't have to take them on board. You can just let them flow through. And then the ones that you start to ruminate on and think about and really, you know when you've taken a thought and you're thinking it yourself again. And then you just start to see which type of thoughts it is that you make your own. And then change that.
And how do you change that? By a simple...
By notice it. It's like notice what you notice in life. So notice what thoughts you're bringing in and then change the thoughts that you're bringing in. If there's a negative thought that passes your consciousness, just let it go past and don't take it on board and don't make it yours. And if there's a positive one, do that. Consciously choose positive thoughts.
Okay, let me simplify this because you still haven't done that because you're too deep, I'm going to say. Okay, so let's say I have a thought, I'm broke, I'm skint, I got no money. I'm broke, I'm skint, I got no money. Do I then just change that into I manifest money every day? So effectively, so at the moment I have the thought that comes with the belly, emotional thing in my belly, I'm skint, I got no money. What would I use to replace and remove that from my subconscious?
Firstly, you don't have to replace it straight away. You can just ignore that thought. Just ignore it. Okay, it's really difficult to explain in just an easy way like this. So when you have a thought, Paul, right, so if we just, there's going to be a slight pause here, listeners. So just sit there for a second and just let your mind bring on a thought.
Okay.
What was the thought?
Elephant grey. That was my thought. I had a grey elephant.
Fair enough. You have a grey elephant. Okay. Now, what did you feel when you felt that, when you had that thought?
Fun.
Okay. So you felt a fun. Okay. See, what you did was you thought the grey elephant and then you brought it in because you made it fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you have the thought, I'm broke, you can bring that in and make it uncomfortable feeling.
Which generally what happens.
Right. Okay. But now I want you to have a thought. And I want it to pass by you and have nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Yeah, what was the thought?
A broken down car.
Okay, and did you have anything to do with
it? No, it just went past like a broken down car that's not broken down.
There we are. Okay. Okay. So do you see the difference?
Okay.
So with the elephant, you brought it in and made it yours.
Yeah.
And with the car, you just let it go. You didn't take it on board.
So let me ask you, what is the purpose of mantraing then?
What you're doing
People say about it, don't they? I mean, I mantra.
Mantra is great. I'm not keen on the word because when you mantra something, you're constantly doing it. And what you'll need is affirmations. But when you're doing affirmations, you need to have the whole of you on board. You need to have your belief system in it on board. You need to have your emotional response to it on board. You need to have, you need to be fully invested in it. So when you're saying it, does it become like, just something you say at the end of the day.
Like an empty prayer.
Yeah, like an empty prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Minute it comes like that, you may as well not bother.
Yeah.
But I like, the word affirmation is very old-fashioned now, I guess, or it's very, new age or whatever you want to call it. But what you're actually doing with that is you're affirming to your subconscious mind what you now want it to manifest for you. So this is what people don't understand, is that your subconscious is manifesting absolutely everything into your life. Everything. From, how you feel in the morning to any illness, your work, your money, your friends, your love life, everything is manifesting all of it and bringing it to you through your subconscious mind.
Wow.
So what we need to do is change the neural pathways in the subconscious mind. And the way that you do that is by new suggestions, The more you suggest something, because that's how it got in there in the first place. So if you've got a money block in your subconscious mind, it got in there by repetition in your childhood. Mum saying, oh my God, money don't grow on trees. Dad saying, oh my God, I've lost my job. What are we going to do? So it's just repetitive lack of money.
Yeah.
Is what formed your lack in money in your subconscious mind. So the way to change it, and the only way to change it, is start giving it another suggestion, because although it runs the show, mm-hmm. it's open to a suggestion by your conscious mind. So whatever your conscious mind keeps telling you,
yeah,
it'll get into your subconscious as a belief, and then everything will change and it'll manifest.
Okay, so where you said, you know, the mantra, you wasn't something you were a fan of, what we're realizing is it's probably one of the most important tools to create and change, alongside ignoring what is the negative thought.
I mean, it's like if you're in a public place and you look at a person and your natural instinct is to judge that person on some negative way, stop yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just half, you know, quarter way, 2 minutes, 2 seconds in, just stop yourself. Say, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. They do say that when you talk about other people, it actually dumbs down your intelligence.
I can see why.
Yeah,
I can see.
So, so if you're out there listening and you're giving someone a hard time,
yeah.
you know, by when talking to another person about somebody else, do know that's dumbing your intelligence.
It's not just dumbing your intelligence; it's bringing more negativity to your life.
Yeah,
you know, ultimately we're in control of everything. We just don't think we are, but we are. So you'll have negative thought patterns that are running around, you know, manifesting negativity in your life. And the only way, see, you can do and do and do until the cows come home, and you will grow marginally.
Okay.
So, but if you have to change the subconscious into what it is you're looking to manifest,
mm-hmm.
and then take action. And that's all you have to do.
So let me go back to then that you find your right affirmation or mantra as a part of the toolbox. So it's ignoring. If first of all, it's letting certain thoughts go by you that don't add value.
Anymore.
The second is, what are you like as a character? Are you a talkabout person? Do you think bad of people? Mm-hmm. Are you someone that just has opinions on people in generally in monkey chat to yourself?
Right, exactly.
You know that. Mm-hmm. What do you always see? You know,
do you do that to yourself?
Yeah. Do you do it yourself?
Do you monkey chat bad about yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So many people do.
Yeah, I see.
I mean,
that.
I've got this thing that I do with my Fresh Freedom where I ask people, "Who do you think you are?" And I don't want them to answer me from their conscious mind. I want them to answer me just innately, just come out with it. An amount of people that say some heartbreaking things. I'm unworthy of existence. You know, I'm unlovable. All this stuff comes out. And that's running around in your subconscious mm-hmm. mind. You know, so you can do in your business all day long. You can work 70 hours a week, not sleep, and still not be successful
mm-hmm.
because you haven't got your conscious mind on board with you.
Wow, that's massive.
If your conscious mind is not on board with you, you will only move marginally. That's the end of it. It's whatever your belief systems are in your subconscious mind is what you are going to manifest. That's it.
Wow.
So we have to change what's in the subconscious mind.
Yeah.
To be able to get the life.
And it sounds to me that it's pretty easy. Now, when I say that, because we don't need no credit card, debit card, bank account, or money to do this.
No.
Effectively, it's just a recognition of hearing yourself.
Yes.
For the first time, perhaps, in your whole life.
Exactly. You're hearing what's going on. So by...
When you say hearing in your mind,
that's what
correct,
I mean. Yeah. So you're monitoring. That's why you monitor the thoughts that you go through. Just spend 3 days and write them down. I was judgmental about that woman. I was judgmental about myself. I said one thing and meant another and felt another. And just monitor all those thoughts that are going through.
I said yes instead of no and all those.
All that, yeah.
Wow.
And it's just you monitor them and then write all that down and think, wow. Because you'll look at that and think, 95% of that is not what I'm looking to create.
Wow. It's so effectively on that note, we're going to say that most people that live, unless they've done a vast amount of work on themselves to to creating a healthy mind. Subconscious mind,
yeah.
Or a healthy mind,
both
are effectively living in what is disillusioned lives.
100%. It's so sad. It's so sad. And they're just living on a loop after loop after loop. Because what they'll find is they can get out of one situation, get into a totally different situation, and still end up feeling the same.
Wow.
Still end up with nothing. Still end up with whatever. You know, so you can be in a marriage and it's terrible and it's not working and everything. And you say, right, that's it. I'm leaving. You go through all that trauma. And then you meet somebody new and they're the complete opposite of your last partner. And I bet you, the minute that you guys are settled together, you're going to end up feeling exactly the same way as you did with the other person, even though they are complete opposites.
Because your subconscious mind has
manifested this other person in to give you the same feeling that you're telling it that is what you want.
Wow. Wow, Deb.
And that's the same with business. You can have business failure after over and over and over unless you change it.
Yeah. And those people are the ones that are successful, because I believe that they work on what it is they're thinking.
They're working on their mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to work on your mindset, because your mindset will go into your subconscious and that's where you manifest.
Wow. Well, when you said you asked people what the subconscious looks like, mine looks like a monkey in a tea party.
Oh my God, that is so apt. That makes so much sense.
It's like
to me.
When you said, well, I ask my clients what the subconscious looks like, and I asked me that question, and I have this monkey in a teapot.
Oh, that is just so funny. That is so funny. Having fun, right?
Well, I'm getting
causing havoc.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Is that a bad thing, do you think? But yeah,
I mean, people's subconscious has been like a little yellow light, yeah, and a little bit of this, and you know. A dark cloud. Yours is a monkey's tea party.
A monkey in a tea party. Oh, that's exactly God. What my subconscious
so,
looked like.
Now, that tells me so much. You have to train that monkey that's causing havoc in the tea party.
Yeah, because I believe he wants to be good. Do you know
so
what I mean?
So you have your work cut out for you. That tells me so much.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to listen to bugger all.
I have
smashing cups.
Yeah, yeah. I've never asked myself what my subconscious looks like until you asked that. And I was like, yeah, he's a monkey in a tea party, man. He's having a real crazy time.
Right. So can you imagine the work you've got cut out for you?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Totally.
Do you know what my subconscious looked like?
What?
When I asked myself, a little version of the universe.
What's it?
See the difference in us?
Yeah.
It was a micro version of the big universe.
And that is so up for who you are. Do you know what I mean? It's like you go, listeners, you're going to just sit down in a quiet spot in your home, in your car, wherever you are right now, and you're going to just stop and you're going to ask yourself, what does my subconscious look like? You're going to write it
and
down.
Where is it?
Yeah, and where is it? You're going to write it down. And then you're going to put in your email, my subconscious, and you're going to email that to info@accoladeacademy.com, and you're going to email it to Deb so she can talk to you about your subconscious mind and what that looks like. Because here it is. I want to put this out there before we go into a commercial, is that, you know, Deb has a Fresh Freedom program, and it's renowned for this depth of work with clients all over the world. It's a sharp 10-week program that she does over a 10-week period.
Yep.
And it's a very modest £350 right now for those who are listening to the show. So put on their radio show discount. If you're interested in Deb's Fresh Freedom, again, she works with clients all over the world. She is hugely renowned for the success of what this program does by getting people to really become the better versions and shapes of themselves in life. It's a life strategist work in this Fresh Freedom program is immense. Not just saying that because I'm her husband, but you would only have to reach out and speak to people that have had the experience. And those, you've had people working with you for many years now, because they keep rolling through the Fresh Freedom also, don't they?
Yeah, because they're looking to work on different aspects.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can just completely change your subconscious mind, but you know, I think it's too it's too overwhelming to try and work on every single aspect of your life that you want changing in 10 weeks, you know.
Well, here's what we're going to do, listeners. We're going to just go into our final commercial here. When we come back, we're going to give Deb's details out again, her contact details, and we're going to talk about her Fresh Freedom Programme and really what that does for her clients that come to her from all over the world, may I add.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Days, and we are back in, and listen to this. Yep, that was my subconscious mind.
I just want, before we go any further, I want to know, what's his name?
Ooh.
The monkey.
Oh, it's Joe. Got to be a Joe.
Joe.
Joe or Joey. Actually, I think it's Brian. I don't know, I didn't have a name for it. You put me on the spot.
I wanted to have a name.
It could even be Sally, who knows. It doesn't have to be a boy, it could be a girl.
Cool.
Or it could be a mix, just like a woman. Male and female, who knows. But, you know, you we are listeners, and we've been really deep diving into so many things here, you know, subconscious thought, your mantras, affirmations, living authentically, what is sanity, you know, anxiety, the direction, depression, you name it, we have covered it here today. And what I'd like to do, you know, in this final portion is, first of all, so if I come to you and I sign up for your Fresh Freedom program, why is it I've come to you? You know, what is my problem then? Do I have one?
Well, it could be anything. It could be that you've just got divorced. It could be that life's just not working for you anymore. It could be that, you know, you're wanting to do, you know, be more confident, be, you know, in your business. Mm-hmm. There's a ton, an array of reasons why people come to me, you know, but ultimately it's all going back to, see, the thing is, what we haven't said here yet, Paul, is that it's helpful to go back into your childhood, not because you're going to do talk therapy, you know, which I agree can really help. It helped me. But you go into your childhood, you see what the main prompters are that are in your subconscious mind. So the main belief systems, basically.
And this is what you work on, yeah?
Yes. So I'll go into the family dynamics. I'll go into the childhood role of the client. I'll go into how their relationship was with each parent, how the parents' relationship were together, you know, all, you know, their relationship to their siblings. And then it all about, you know, what was the money mindset in the family? What was the health mindset? What was, you know, the different mindsets?
Wow. So it's quite detailed what you do then in those 10 weeks.
Yeah, and then what I'll do is I'll narrow it all down to say, okay, this is the prompter that you've got going on in your subconscious mind that keeps perpetuating that same scenario. So, and you know, we'll end up with, you know, 5 or 6 of these prompters, and then we work on those prompters to change them up so they don't have that running in the background all the time. So then they're going to now, you know, be free to manifest what they actually want, not what they, you know, are conditioned to.
Okay, so effectively you're saying that what the Fresh Freedom does, it I'll come in one state of mind, leaving in another state of mind with effectively a completely confident way of living my life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not just a confident way, but just, you know, a less stressful, peaceful being in, you know, I'm giving them their own power back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because our subconscious mind, you know, that's been conditioned by our childhood, it doesn't give you any power. It doesn't give you any choice.
Wow.
You know?
Wow, Deb, that's... I love it. I love it. Not that I need it.
No, I'm fine. Of course not.
I got my monkey.
I love your monkey. I love your monkey. That's why I wanted to know their name.
Let me put this out there. So we find you on Facebook.
Yes, just Debs Reese on Facebook. I've also got a Fresh Freedom page on Facebook.
Okay, and your email is info@accoladeacademy.com.
Yeah.
And your mobile number?
07842-425-967.
Perfect. And you're nowhere else?
I'm nowhere else, no.
Oh, well, it's just simple and easy, eh?
Yeah.
Your website?
It's being under construction.
How long has it been under construction?
About 5 years.
Now, I want to share this to the listeners, okay? So just bear in mind what we just said there. So Deb gave you her Facebook and her email and her mobile. And I asked about a website. You said it's under construction. Because here's the thing. Deb has never given out a business card, never networked, never gone on any social media networking events, face-to-face networking events. Actually, I don't recall you ever having a business card, as I said. No. Your website is under construction, means that you don't advertise at all. You've got a Calendly account that you've rarely used, that we pay for every year, and all this kind of thing. But yet, your capacity and you work all over the world every day. Now that says something. That speaks in, you know, in unlimitless possibilities.
Yes, that's really lovely of you.
Because that's what happens.
Yeah.
You know, you've got clients. Where do your clients range from? What is the range of your clients?
Gosh. All over Europe, all over America, Canada, and all over the UK.
Hawaii, Australia?
Oh, I've been there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hawaii,
yeah.
Australia?
Yeah.
Where else have you been? With your clients?
Hmm.
Anywhere else?
I'm just trying to think. Is there another continent?
Because I'm here's the thing. You are on
Middle
tour.
Middle East.
Middle East? Oh, wow. You're on tour this year. So where are you touring this year?
Vienna.
I'll be in Vienna
in October for a week.
Cool.
And then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts for a week.
Oh, wow. Hmm. So in Vienna, you're a week there and you only go to Boston in Massachusetts. Mm. Who is sponsoring you there?
There's a lady called Christine Grace. She's a fantastic Reiki master, healer, energy worker. She does the sound bowls. She's amazing.
Can we find that event anywhere or can it not? Or do you
it's not out yet.
It's not out yet.
No, because it's in November. So we're just still finalising the details and then it'll be out.
Let's do this. If you want to know more about the event in Europe and the event in the US and you fancy attending, reach out to Deb on info@accoladeacademy.com. And of course, let her know what your subconscious mind looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I have been doing that for a while now, asking my clients, because how can you work on it if you haven't got a visual and you haven't got a place where it is? It's a something and nothing,
mm-hmm.
You know, so I want them to visualize and get a grip to where it is. Some people's have been in their belly, some are mm-hmm. in the side of their head, some of them are in their aura, you know what
wow.
I mean? Like, you just have it in different places.
I didn't give that any thought. I mean, mine is kind of at the back of my head.
Yeah, mine's at the back of my head.
That's
too.
What mine is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that you know, those who are greater thinkers, I don't know, like I'm gonna say country leaders, things like this, you know, like the and also the Gandhis of the earth, Mother Teresa, do you think they had a better relationship with their subconscious mind?
Yeah. I mean, I'll go with the Gandhis and the Teresas of the world, you know, rather than the other ones.
The country leaders. Ooh, yeah, there is some troubled children out there running countries.
Let's
for sure.
just don't go there. Okay. But yeah, so the more enlightened people in the world have definitely mastered their subconscious mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, it's this little place that, yes, yeah, science has... science has verified it, so mm-hmm. it's not like a little woo-woo thing, mm-hmm. you know, because what happens when your conscious mind goes to sleep? Your subconscious is still regulating all your body. It's pumping your blood. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, making your heart beat. It's doing all the other stuff. So it is
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just like some new age thing. It is there. And yeah, and it never forgets. Your subconscious mind has every single second of your life in it.
Wow.
And it remembers everything.
Well, let's hope to God nobody plugs into mine then. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot in there people don't want to know about. And on that note, listeners, we're going to call it a day and say thank you ever so much for sticking it out with us. And it was a fantastic show, Deb. I absolutely always love you coming on here and deep diving into the depths of what is deep. It's been fantastic. And listeners, you all have an amazing, happy, subconscious week. And remember, reach out to Deb because she is the person to help you strategize that opportunity back into life. Like that plug, Deb?
I did. I loved it. But also remember, not the Calendly, just email.
Happy days, listeners. Until this time next week, we're going to say bye for now and boom! Emotion.